Let's together try to get beyond the book for a moment, shall we? Well, much of the literary world is. Proust wrote a life's work diary kind of novel thing composed of deeply personal impressions that seemed to come from inside his own skull. In Search of Lost Time ran to thousands of pages. Charles Dickens' masterpieces were serialized in magazines and newspapers. Jack Kerouac's On the Road was typed on a 120-foot-long, single-spaced, typed scroll. Bram Stoker's Dracula and Laclaus's Dangerous Liaisons are both novels written as letters. Serialized writing, or writing composed as the jottings and ruminations of authors, has a long tradition in literature. In such stories, the individual serialized pieces generally contain a dramatic build to pull readers to the next installment, good old cliffhanger. In novels written as postings or letters, the characters begin to take on the qualities of the clandestine diarist, the letter writer, the spy reporting on an emotional landscape, far away or just out of sight. Twitter describes itself as a micro-blogging service. And over the course of its growth as a culture platform, we've all imagined the tweeters as characters, haven't we? Some celebrities, of course, some anonymous, all firing their clever impressions or first-hand reports or emotional baggage out into the ether. It's got to be a story behind every tweet, right? So it was inevitable that a Twitter novel would find its way into the zeitgeist. Beginning last Thursday, The New Yorker began publishing Jennifer Egan's new short story, Black Box, one tweet at a time. The story will unfold over the course of 10 nights between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We're currently about halfway through the story. In addition to writing Black Box, Egan is the author of The Invisible Circus, Look at Me, and many other books, including A Visit from the Goon Squad. She visited this program to talk about that book, which won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. Welcome back to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you.
So what a fascinating idea. Can I read just some selections of the
story?
Yeah. People rarely look the way you expect them to, even when you've seen pictures. The first 30 seconds in a person's presence are the most important. If you're having trouble perceiving and projecting, focus on projecting. Now, those are three individual tweets, right, in a sort of first chunk of this story. What excited you about this project?
Well, I had been thinking for a while about how I might use Twitter to write fiction. And the question is not as simple as how can I impose this odd structure on a story, but more, how can I find a story that demands to be written in these very short units? And the thing that's fun about thinking about that is that if it really is going to work, it really has to be something that couldn't be done any other way. And so that's exciting to think what story requires telling in small 140-character segments, and why does it require that? And I was just excited about finding that kind of story and making it happen.
Well, I love that you've thought about this because, of course, sending fiction out on Twitter, rap stars have been doing that for quite a while. Celebrities have been doing it for quite a while. So the fiction idea isn't the key. It's the discipline of the 140 characters, as you describe. What about the live quality? I mean, people tune in to see the tweets come by in real time. That's an even different idea.
Exactly. And that part of the process I'm only witnessing now because, of course, I wrote it to be tweeted and I imagined it and felt from the beginning that it needed to be in these small nuggets, but I couldn't experience the piece as someone would, you know, flowing into their handset until it was actually tweeted. And even now, in a way, I'm not the best judge of how well that works because I'm not really a Twitter person. So I'm not someone who's watching tweets flow in all day long. And I don't know exactly what that experience is like for someone who does do that, to have these elliptical, segments floating in over their phones. You know, do they like it? I mean, to me, it's an experiment to see how this really works for a regular Twitter user.
But you've got an image of your reader. They're holding a handheld device, right? That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a screen. Doesn't have to be a handheld device. And I'm learning now that you're not the one firing the tweets when The New Yorker is publishing this line by line, right? It's not you there.
It's not me. In fact, it's not a person. It's pre-programmed to release the tweets every minute. And in the end, you always come up against technology when working with technology. We had originally had the idea of having the tweets come every 30 seconds, a little more frequently. But in order to pre-program them, they can't come any more frequently than once a minute. But the feeling was there's just too much possibility for human error to have someone cutting and pasting every 30 seconds.
And the publishers want to have all the power anyway, right? They're not going to let an author do that. All right, so tell me about how the characters and the story and the plot and the traditional elements of literature develop by this way of 140-character increment writing?
Well, I started, I had this idea of wanting to do it, and then I sort of waited. I also, for a while, have wanted to write a spy story. I've had a sense of a female spy and what that might be like. And then for me, it really begins with kind of hearing a voice, having a sense of how someone might talk, and in this case, in these particular segments. And I guess the real key was imagining a person learning from the action of the story and describing the action in the form of the lessons she learns from it rather than just describing action. Because if you're narrating action, there's no reason to do it in these tiny segments. But if you're deriving lessons from action, it makes sense that they would be in these small segments. So,
well, and so the tone of these is it's not descriptive. It's a little more philosophical. These are observations as well as descriptions sometimes. For instance, and you don't have to worry about dialogue. I love this. Kindness feels good even when it's based on a false notion of your identity and purpose. Posing as a beauty means not reading what you would like to read on a rocky shore in the south of France. Somehow, I believe that because it's said so strongly and because it's a tweet.
And we can, when we know from that where she is,
right,
what she's doing, and what the what the basic milieu is. So once I began to get a sense of her voice, I actually wrote this by hand, as I usually do fiction. I bought a notebook, a Japanese notebook that just had eight rectangles per page, and I wrote this by hand inside the rectangles over a few months, and it worked perfectly. I was on a book tour. I would pull this out and write in these small segments. It was phenomenally too long at the beginning. Mm. It was probably more than double the length that it is now. So, you know, and there was a lot that was wrong. There are all kinds of ways to go wrong with that voice. You can probably imagine them, you know, too portentous, too abstract, too omniscient. So part of it was just calibrating, you know, she's clearly narrating these lessons for some sort of power that she's serving, and it becomes clear that it's the U.S. government. But then the question is, what about her? And so over time, certain associations and memories and thoughts of her own begin to intrude in the narration, and modulating and controlling that was really important.
So here's a mechanical question. You wrote this by hand in a notebook. How did you observe the 140 character convention? Did you go back and check? Did you have a typist do it for you? Did your editor enforce that?
What I always do with fiction is I start by hand, then I type it up. When I typed it up into the segments, I would sometimes measure them, and I found, interestingly, that these boxes were sort of the perfect size.
Really?
With my scrawl. They usually close to fit. Sometimes I would divide them in half. But I didn't worry too much about that. I knew that the overall shape was what really mattered, and I didn't get into measuring until I was pretty close to having something that was interesting.
Does your character have a name?
Well, I never name her in the piece, but she actually is a character from Goon Squad,
right,
named Lulu. And I followed her into her real adulthood, which took me into about the 2030s. And maybe that's why these sci-fi elements began to come in, because imagining forward, imagining how a spy might function in the future seemed to naturally lead to certain technological innovations.
So this doesn't necessarily imply Twitter. Even though we are experiencing this book via Twitter, your character isn't tweeting. She's posting or communicating in some way.
She's actually recording. She has a recording device in her brain, like implanted in
nice.
Her brain by the government. And what she's supposed to do is record her thoughts in the form of a mission log. They're called field instructions. So it's both a moment-to-moment record of what's going on, and it's a document that will supposedly be, you know, have didactic value in the future.
Do you have to do a cliffhanger at the end of each tweet to get people onto the next one? Do you think consciously about that?
No. Well, actually, the breaks are a little bit arbitrary, because the idea is to tweet for an hour each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. So, in fact, the interruptions are happening mid-section.
Wow.
Which troubles
me. It's very avant-garde.
I don't love that, I have to confess. But, you know, again, we're working with in certain limitations.
Hey, you're creating a revolution here. All right, finally, before we go, can you feel what 140 characters feels like 17 syllables in a haiku after doing this?
I think I probably have a better sense of it than I did at the beginning. I should also just say that I'm not the first to have done this. Rick Moody wrote an excellent story via Electric Literature a couple of years ago, and he definitely got there first, and he partly inspired me to do this.
And do you have a Twitter handle?
Yes, Egan Goon Squad.
There's only six tweets on it.
I'm an inactive tweeter, and in fact, I tweeted a lot of spam. So that's most of what I was hacked and tried to sell vitamin supplements. That's been my major contribution.
Well, that's maybe the subject for your next book. Jennifer Egan, author of the new short story Black Box, being published on One Tweet at a Time by The New Yorker, also winner of the Pulitzer Prize for A Visit from the Goon Squad. Thanks so much.
Thank you.